Live from our homes in New
Our
Jersey.
houses.
This is Red Sea Radio, episode 10. We're back at it again. We're not on WVOF this time. We are on Zoom. So I guess first off, I'm your host, Kyle, back with Jack, like always. Jack, how you feeling?
Good, a little down,
Yeah.
but
I mean,
still full season ahead of us.
a little down. We're recording this episode right after Fairfield's game against Providence. I'm not really sure when we're going to be able to get this up because I think the website we use to put our podcast up is kind of down right now. But just for the listeners' sake, we're recording this right after the game. It's 4:45 on Wednesday. What I was saying is, we're recording this on Zoom, so I'm not really sure how the audio is going to sound compared to our previous episodes. It might be a little bit lower quality, but bear with us. We're all home for the semester now, so we're not on WVUF anymore. But Red Sea Radio episode 10, I believe this is. So we have a lot to talk about today, a whole lot to talk about. We always start the show off with some notes. So I thought we'd start this show off again with some notes before we get into the Providence game. So first thing is some Fairfield non-basketball news. We have Matt Turner, who's making some noise in the MLS.
Big
Me and
win last
Jack,
night.
yeah, huge win last night. Jack and I, along with our friend Drew, on our other show, we interviewed him freshman year 2 years ago. Great guy, went to the same high school as me. Obviously went to Fairfield and played here too. So now he's a professional soccer player for the New England Revolution. And they just upset the number one seed yesterday, Philadelphia Union, 2-0, kept a clean sheet. So congrats to him. He also came in second place for goalkeeper of the year for the MLS. So huge shout out to him, because when we interviewed him 2 years ago, I don't know if you remember it too well. Unfortunately, we didn't get to record it, but when we interviewed him 2 years ago, he was like fighting for a starting position, and just
Yeah, I
2 years
remember
later,
he was
he was
barely
talking
even
about
playing. He was a
yeah
backup, I guess.
yeah he was talking about fighting for time and just doing everything he can to try to get time. And then look at him 2 years later, he's number two in the voting for goalkeeper of the year for MLS, in the talks for United
US.
States men national team too.
Hopefully gets a
So
couple caps. He gets a couple
yeah, even if it's in a
little bit of
friendly
time between the
or so,
pipes.
yeah, it'd be nice to see. So shout out to Matt Turner. We're actually going to hope to have him on this show eventually down the road when he's a little less busy after the season, maybe over the winter, maybe next semester, something like that. We'll get Drew on here too. So shout out to Matt Turner. That's our first note of the game. On to some Fairfield basketball stuff. Obviously, today there's supposed to be two Stags games. There's only one. The women's game got canceled due to COVID. And, it was a little down. It's a little sad to see, right? Having the women's game canceled. But their next game is December 6th. So countdown to that, I guess, starts now. Fairfield men's basketball notes before we get into it. The William and Mary game got pushed back to 2021. So that's kind of something we talked about for a
Thankfully.
while. So, I guess I'm kind of happy about that.
I'm happy as well.
Yeah, we wanted that. We know that like Jay Young probably wanted that too, and the rest of the team. So, and just like the staff, it just makes more sense. So good to see that. Something that wasn't good to see was that Wojcik and Chrysler today, their waivers were denied, so it's looking like they're not going to play this year, unfortunately. So that's going to be a huge hit, and I think we'll talk about that later.
Well, it kind of applies to
Applies
the game
today.
today.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that later, but that's kind of just the headline. They also made the Hartford game a two-game series now, so we're playing Hartford both on December 2nd. And then 4 days later on December 6th, a home and away. Just more news there. More news too, just in terms of scheduling. Stony Brook, their game got canceled today. So when we play them this weekend, if we play them, we don't even really know.
Hopefully it clears up.
Yeah, hopefully it clears out. It seems like someone, like not even someone on their team, but just like someone related to their team, like not even a staff member, had like a COVID test. So it kind of seems like it might check out, and we might
Is
play them.
there a specific protocol they have to go through, do we know, or is
I don't really know. I feel like no one really knows. I think if they all just test negative over the next few days, there shouldn't be any reason why we shouldn't play, right?
Yeah, I mean, that you would have to think, but you never know.
And also, well, one, it would kind of benefit us because we've already played a game now under our belts against a very good team, and that would be their first game of the season against us. So maybe they'll be a little rusty. But if the game gets canceled because of COVID, our Sacred Heart game is also at Stony Brook. I wonder if they would just cancel the whole event because they don't want anyone on.
Because yes, the host, building or a host school.
You would think, though, if that's the case, it would be a quick turnaround to just ship everyone back to Fairfield and play Sacred Heart either at Alumni Hall.
Yeah, since Sacred Heart and Fairfield, they're so close, they're basically in a bubble. Like, it's basically playing your own school of how close
they are. Hopefully, if they shut down the Stony Brook, hopefully we could still play Sacred Heart this weekend. Hopefully we play them both, though, obviously. And then a couple more notes. Today, this morning, Jay Young had a podcast out. The Open Court podcast is really good. If you haven't listened to it yet, go take a listen. It's like a half hour long only. And he said a lot of interesting stuff before the game. Like, he mentioned that a freshman was going to start, which we saw. We'll talk about that. He also said that Jason Odokpai is out till mid-December with mono. So that's like one of the headlines we want to talk about. A little unfortunate. That was a guy that we really were looking forward to seeing today, and a guy that definitely would have helped us out today. And now not just having him not today, but for about a month is kind of, unfortunate to hear. So we wish him, you know, the best of luck in recovering, and we can't wait to see him. And then also Jalen Leach, Jay Young said on the podcast that he's playing through a slight knee injury, like a nagging knee injury that, he played today, but you know, it's, something.
And you could tell he was a little gimpy at times.
Yeah, and also he mentioned that Supreme Cook had a little bit of a knee injury in the beginning of the season. He should be fine now, but it's just, I mean, it's unfortunate that all three of our freshmen have injuries before the season started. So that's kind of our headlines for today. Just a little something to get us started, but I really wanted to get into the Providence game now. That's obviously going to be the focus of our show today because we just watched the game and it's
fresh in our minds.
Yeah, fresh in our minds. First time we got to see these guys play too, for a lot of them. So, all right. So just the overview. Obviously, we lost the elephant in the room. We lost by what? Almost 40. We lost by 41.
41.
So, you know, just gonna come out there and say it. It's it was pretty depressing. It's kind of sad. We were wrong. We were very wrong.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Gotta admit when you're wrong, right? I think I said they'd lose by 8. So
first half, it seemed seemed pretty on the dot. But as the game progressed, we slowly.
First 10.
15 minutes.
10 minutes.
But yeah. I'll give them the first half. I'll give them the entire first half because it was 12, but it was like a close 12.
First half, 41-29 at the halftime. Like you said, we were winning for a decent amount of the game, around the 17-17, 19-19 mark. That's when it was like kind of back and forth. And then Providence pulled away with a couple threes. And obviously, we kind of talked about this last episode. I think we were kind of hit it on the head that we weren't going to be able to deal with their big men down low.
I mean, yeah, we were wrong in terms of our prediction, but we were right in terms of how we thought they were going to beat us. I mean, Watson probably was the best player on the court for them today. Like, obviously, yeah. Duke and Bynum and Reeves played really well, but it was mostly Watson was like the big catalyst for why they pulled away originally. I mean, 23-10. We won't face a guy that physically dominant the rest of the year probably by the
year. So that's the thing too, is like we were playing well against them, and I think once Cooley kind of realized how dominant their big men could be on us, he completely changed the game plan, and that's when it started going bad. In the beginning of the game, they were kind of shooting from the outside, and that's why we were playing.
Yeah, they were very being very passive. It seemed like.
Yeah, and you know, one person, I feel like we're kind of all over the place right now, but one person, obviously David Duke, I didn't feel like he played that well today. I really don't.
No, I mean, first half, Yeah, I feel like he played really poorly, got in foul trouble early. I mean, all their guards kind of played poorly to start the first half. It was like basically Watson carried them in the first half scoring wise. He had, what, 10, I think? And he had 10 and 8 or something like that in the first half. So, but once the second half started, they kind of found their groove and they started to look like the top three projected Big East team that kind of expect to have seen this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, and they look good, but I mean, like, their announcers and, you know, websites and everything, they're calling Duke, like, one of the best defenders in the country, one of the better players in the country. And when you considered he was going up against Fairfield, who's obviously a mid-major, small school, he didn't, like, impress me too much, honestly. And I don't really watch Providence that much, so that was kind of my first time seeing him play. He didn't impress me too much, honestly.
Honestly, it was more Reeves and Watson that stole the show. I thought Reeves did really well.
Yeah, especially, he was deadly from three, too.
Yeah. I mean, 2 for 7, but his two were very big, and he looked much it's like not – I don't know what the word is. I guess smoother with his game than Duke did originally.
He hit – so he hit one big three in the beginning that I think really started the run. And then
he only went 2 for 7, three, but
– yeah, and his second three came we were already getting killed, but it was right after Chef buried that three. He buried one right on the other end to answer it. It was kind of just a little
deflating. Like we finally got something going.
A final little dagger. So his two threes were kind of big in the game. And like you said, he played really well too. Like that was a guy – we talked about him last week as a compliment, like player, but he impressed me more than I thought he would today.
Even Bynum with his passing, like he didn't score that much, but 8 assists, no turnovers. That's like Bynum's kind of what we wish we kind of hope we can get from Caleb.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. Is I mean, last week we summed it up. The two kind of keys to the game were going to be the big men and the transfers. And Bynum was their transfer, Caleb was ours, and Bynum thoroughly outplayed him.
Even with 4 points, still. Outplayed him a lot. Eight assists, 2 steals, and like very good defense on that side of the court. I mean, in the second half, it seemed like our guards were getting the ball stolen from us every one or two possessions.
Yeah, turnovers. I mean, we're gonna get into the numbers. So first half, I guess we'll still keep it first half. Right at halftime, I kind of went on my notes in my phone and made little notes of what I thought of the first half. I kind of want to just go through them a little bit, and you could chime in too. Obviously, the first thing I wrote was that we can't keep up with the bigs. We talked about that already. It's just once they figured it out, there was really no stopping them. It's really hard to stop someone that's 60 pounds on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something you can't even really be mad about. You can't blame Maida. You can't blame –
you just take it on your chin and then, like, come back against a more evenly – skilled opponent.
Teams, yeah. And one thing I said at halftime, I kind of agreed with it the whole game as well, is that I said Taj looks good. I wanted him to shoot more, though. First half, he had 2 or 3 buckets. He looked good. I feel like he didn't take a whole lot of shots today. I feel like he didn't have a whole lot of offensive production today. A little bit more in the second half. He had a few – he got to the rim, got fouled a few times, had a couple shots here and there. First half, I feel like he shot very, rarely. I mean, he did wind up leading us with 10 points. But I thought he looked good today, and I really wanted him to shoot more, especially that's what I wrote at halftime. I don't know how you felt.
I feel kind of similarly. I mean, Taj, I feel like he was our most consistent jump shooter today in terms of, like, mid-range, like, outside of the paint. He made a couple mid-range shots in the first half. Second half, he got to the line a little bit, kind of showed off a lot of his – what makes him one of our best players. But, I mean, a lot of it was just decision-making. I mean, at one point, I don't know if I texted you or I just thought it, but he had a fast break 2-on-1. I think it was him and Maido 2-on-1. He pulls up from a mid-range shot, which
– yeah, that was right in the second half, like, too.
Yeah, you got to – like, when you're – like him, 90% free throw shooter, like they're going to foul if you go to the paint. You're either going to make it or you're going to get fouled most likely. So I think it was very odd. I really hope he doesn't carry over that kind of play style to the MAC, because it might just be because Providence, their big men are so skilled, so good on defense that it's hard to
– yeah, you don't want to go up to the rim against them because you think, you know, you don't want to match up well against them. I agree,
that changes.
The game's still in reach, though. the game was still in reach at that point too, which was a little depressing because
yeah,
that was right out the gate, I think, second half.
Yeah, that was when they went on their initial run, their initial whatever, 14-0 run.
And that, and two, the second half, I mean, let's keep going first half. We'll talk second half soon. Yeah. I said first half, I said that Chef has shown some good signs, but also some a little bit of lazy tendencies in the first half. I will say he picked it up in the second half, but, you know, there was a couple of plays where, you know, it didn't go his way and everyone ran down the other end and you kind of just saw him walking or, like, slowly jogging. You know, I felt – I don't know if you felt the same way, but I felt that there was some, like, lazy tendencies there.
I mean, I'll give it – I'll agree with you there, but I also saw it in Mido and Cook at times too. Like, that when they were kind of getting beaten on the boards, and early on they were doing well, like kind of holding on the boards. But towards the end of the first half, they started to lose the lead and kind of Parham started to break away. You saw them, like, free throws or like everything. It was like touch, like it was like third, fourth chance baskets, like that. Like, it's kind of deflating.
Or like how many tip-ins? How many tip-ins?
Yeah, how many tip-ins? How many tip up in the air to another, like, another teammate that they get? Like, when you're all 6'8", 6'9", like, you got to start using your body, throwing your body around. And Chef's the biggest culprit because he's the biggest out of the three. So, like, he has the ability to more so than Cook or Mido. But I think all three of them kind of had trouble.
And he's the most athletic, too.
Yeah.
But
I think all three of them had trouble kind of effort-wise towards the end of the first half.
He did have a couple monster blocks, though. It was
yeah, he did. I was actually impressed. I did not know he had that kind of skill to his game. I mean, that would be huge in MAC play when, because like he kind of looked like up to par athletically with those Providence guys. So I would love to see him play against kind of lesser opponents.
Yeah, one thing I'll say about him is, I mean, we're gonna go player by player towards the end of the show today. One thing I'll say about him is that I am not worried at all with him going into the MAC. Like, today was a poor showing because we played a great team. I'm not worried at all with him going into the MAC. He looks
good. I feel like he'll be able to finish a lot easier. He'll get a lot more easier buckets, and he'll get a lot more chance at big blocks and even more rebounds. I mean, 8 rebounds against a team with those kind of big men. Imagine what kind of numbers he's going to put up in MAC play.
Yeah, and then another first half thing I had, Caleb looking a little rusty.
Yeah, turnovers were bad for him.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can limit the turnovers, I'm nervous he's going to fall into that itis kind of mold of just kind of not shooting, being very passive. And also, even when he wasn't being passive, he was missing, like, very easy takes, which I was kind of nervous about.
Yeah. He had a couple bright plays, a couple bright finishes. One thing that stuck out is he was kind of a leader. Like, he was that guy bringing everyone together during dead balls, like, you know, when they come together and in a little huddle. He seemed like he was kind of leading that little talk there, which is usually something that you'd see either, like, Cruz or Taj do.
Yeah.
He seemed like to be the guy that was leading. As far as his play, though, he was super rusty. He had a lot of rough turnovers, whether it was that awful double dribble. A ton of random turnovers. Yeah.
That are just, like, inexcusable.
Yeah. And then another thing from him, too, you know, I feel like Taj and him split bringing up the ball a lot this game.
And I honestly don't even mind that. Like, for now, I don't mind that while we're still trying to figure out, like, what the offense really is. Because, like, we don't really know what they're going to do with their offense at this moment because there's still so many new pieces kind of meshing together.
Yeah, so
– I mean, it worked at times. Taj worked to bring the ball up at times. Caleb worked to bring the ball up at times.
So, yeah, I would like to see him personally. I'd like to see him take over more as, like, the true point guard.
Well, yeah, and I just want him to be able to finish better at the rim. I think that was honestly the thing I was most worried about with him was being able to finish the rim. Because honestly, the passing, like, I think will come back. I think it's more of a timing thing with other players. But finishing the rim is just simply just, like, practice and, like, mental capability.
So I'll save the rest of this list because I feel like a lot of it is just us just going through the players anyway, which we're going to do at the end of the show anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first half, second half. Obviously, second half was a little more poor than the first half.
It was much
half.
Like – a lot like last year.
But it was more laxed too. Like, both teams weren't going as hard, obviously, because the game was so out of reach by such an early stage. So it's kind of hard. It's a little hard to judge the second half, in my opinion, just
because. Well, it was also Providence going full court press start the second half, knowing they already had the game kind of in reach. Like, it was, what, 15 at one point, and they were – or 20 with, like, 16 left in the second half, and they were going full court press. And it kind of ballooned the lead to, like, a lot more than what it kind of realistically was.
Yeah, and, so, like, and part of that, too, is Cooley has high expectations, and he's going into the Maui tournament, what, in a couple days?
Yeah, a couple of days they're talking about that.
He knows that his guys, they played well today, but they have to play a lot better against their future opponents. So he was he was holding a high standard, even though they were up by a lot. He even called that timeout. They were
when we cut it to, like, what, 36?
Yeah, it was like 6 minutes left. We finally scored back-to-back buckets for probably the first time all game, and you know, calls a timeout. So he has high standards, obviously. You can't fault them for it, but they obviously kept the pressure on. But Fairfield was kind of experimenting more in the second half. You saw Calvin come in.
Yeah, you saw interesting lineups, mixes of lineups.
And I guess that's good for Jay Young to experiment. I mean, if the game's out of reach,
why not? It's not like it's going to hurt anybody.
I mean, they played, what, 9 guys today? So, you know, they went a little deep into their bench. And, you know, obviously one of the guys, like, so Jason was hurt. He probably would have played.
The two transfers.
Yeah, the transfers. Kelly was hurt today too, which is a guy that might be able to get some minutes, especially with Chrysler not being there anymore. So, you know, all things considered, they got a lot of guys in today, a lot of experience. Let's take a look at some of the stats and kind of just go through that really quick. So we have – so from the field, so Fairfield shot 37%. I believe that's kind of consistent with where they were at last year for the most part.
Yeah.
From three, they obviously shot 13%, which is
– that's kind of up the pace what we saw last year. But granted, I think less threes from Bido, more from Jalen – I think that could change. More from Jalen, more from Kelly, less from
Mido. Those numbers don't tell the full story, really. I mean, how many threes did Mido shoot? Three? Three of them?
Four. Four? And they were all nowhere close. But
so out of 15, right, 9 guys played, and out of 15 of those shots shared by the 9 guys of the threes, 4 of them was from your 7-foot, 6-foot-10 center?
And I get it. Like, a lot of teams, even the NBA, like, if you have a center, like, to grow their game, it add, like, another layer – you add, like, the corner three, which he did take a few. But you got no one to abandon it. And I think Mido, he's had all last year. He even, like, did a little bit last year, all offseason, 0-for-4. I mean, he should not be taking 4 threes in a game unless I am confident he's making at least one of those.
And, you know, he shouldn't be taking the first three of the game, the first possession of the game, a three by him. You want to come out swinging against top three team in the Big East, and you have your center take a three the first possession. I thought that was a little weird.
He was stepping
right when I saw that, I was like, uh-oh, we're in for a long
day. Yeah. Well, he was, like, stepping into them like he was, like he was, like, a part of the offense. More, it should be more used as, like, a force spreader. Like, if they do – if teams were to leave him open, just, like, leave him alone in the corner, he can make them pay rather than, like, in the flow of the offense, him, like, pulling one. It should not be in the flow of the Dolphins and more as, like, a break in case of emergency. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so 13% free throw, 3-point percentage. Another thing we talked about before we got on air is that we're 2 from 15 for three. One of them was that Jalen three that got us pretty hype in the beginning. Definitely something we'd love to see more of down the road. But the second three was a chef wide open three down 30. I mean, I don't even really know if you can count that. That was kind of just a free look.
I mean, if we're gonna say Mido should not be taking threes for open, like, he was taking that towards the end. Some of those were, like, kind of what chefs were, and he was still missing them pretty badly.
Yeah, chef has proven that he can.
Yeah, we got to give chef some credit for it at least.
I mean, he, like, even coming into this. Part of the write-ups on him and previous stats is that he actually can shoot the three and space the floor. Jay Young even said today on that podcast that Chef can play the four, he could play the five, he could also play the three if he needs him to. So he has confidence in Chef spreading the floor and even playing a wing role. But
yeah, you mentioned that to me.
Yeah, and that three that he hit, though, it did look – it was good. Like, it was – I would not be mad at him taking those shots. Like, we just talked about with Mido. Mido, I don't want him taking those shots, but Chef could take those all he wants. I was perfectly fine with that. So, poor from three again. Free throws, another one. Free throws today, you know, we talked about this last night, right? We were talking about teams that hit free throws or
Win games or cover games, I guess.
Win or cover games in basketball. And we were 66% from the free
throw. It was odd because that was kind of one of our strengths last year. I mean, Todd was 4-for-6. That's very unlike him. I think he went, 90% from the line last year?
Yeah, 90% close to last year. Todd was someone that you kind of always thought would make his free throws when he got to the line. And
Caleb, too, 0-for-2. I mean, I guess it's only two free throws, but still, like,
two in a row as well. So, you know, 16 from for 24, 66%.
But Jalen making 5 out of 5, yeah, I love that. I mean, I'll say that for when we go over each player, but Jalen, 5 for 5, another positive, I guess you can take.
I'd love to see – I mean, it's one game, right? We're not
– so we're not going to over – we're going to keep – But keep the same lineup, I say, like, do whatever. But
let's aim free throw percentage. Let's aim for 75-80%. You know.
Yeah, we're not going to make any drastic changes to lineups over eight missed free throws.
Yeah, no, it's something that it's not a problem yet, but it will be a problem if it continues.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see what happens with that. We got out rebounded 30-44. Again, it's you really can't do much about it when you got guys that are weigh 60 pounds more than you, same height, multiple guys bigger than your team. It's just it's tough. I mean,
even especially their guards are like massive compared to ours. So like,
I like David Duke had seven rebounds,
but he's a monster. He can arguably body like bump around bodies with our forwards if they had to, like, and win loose balls. So it's like You're basically playing against six guys that can out-rebound our tallest guy.
Yeah, one frustrating stat. So you have obviously defensive rebounds, 23-27 we lost. Can't be too mad about that. Pretty close, pretty even. Offensive rebounds, 7-17. That was kind of the most frustrating part for me is that, you know, you'd be watching the TV and it would be like five guys in there, probably three of them are Fairfield guys, and someone's just grabbing the rebound over us. Or how many times did guys just like –
It seems like
they just had butterfingers out there. The ball just like tipped off their hands. It happened to Caleb. It happened to a bunch of guys out there. It's just that's something we definitely need to be better with. I know Jay
Young, and also
Chef for offensive rebounds. He
also it's not even their best players. Like, it's just their guys off the bench. I mean, it's off their bench. They had 10 off the rebounds just from their bench forwards. So, I mean, like, it's not like it's like a skill, it's more just like kind of effort, which circles back to the forwards kind of needing to put a little bit more into rebounding and boxing out a little bit.
Yeah, and those guys, I mean, those Providence guys are trying to earn their spot too on the team, on a really good team, so they're obviously giving their all.
Especially those forwards that are kind of have like a, it's kind of open, that power forward spot's kind of open. Obviously, Watson's going to take the center position, but I mean, Horchler, Crosswell, both played really well today. Even Monroe.
Yeah. So who was their other transfer? I totally forget. I remember buying
it. Was it Horchler? I think so.
He honestly didn't impress me too much. But
he did not either. A lot of his points came in garbage time. I wasn't like – it was kind of like fluke baskets.
Almost, I wouldn't say fluke. Like one of those players that they like put in and like the team gets hype over because he's like – not really a guy that plays a lot. You know what I mean?
Like, well, no, I think he is prepared to play a lot. I just wasn't.
No, I know, but it just seemed like that. The way they were getting, like, hype over him, like, I don't know. Like, he had that dunk that he missed, but it was, like, almost a nice dunk.
Yeah, he, crazy. He, whatcher call it, he transferred from North Florida.
Okay, yeah. So, he honestly didn't do that well, in my opinion, but he'll probably be a good compliment player off the bench. I thought Bynum was good. But the next stat, though, I want to talk about assists, right? We had 6 assists. They had, what, 20?
Yeah, I saw that. They kept popping that up as – I mean, especially in the second half, I think they started to really find their groove passing the ball. They had a lot of quick passes, a lot of
like, nice assists. I mean, we talked about, you know, beginning of the season, right, on our early podcast, when we talk about Caleb, we wanted him to get, what, 8 assists a game?
Yes, 5 to 8 assists a game.
You know, we wanted him to average more assists in the game than our whole team had today. So that's like not a great
stat. Also, again, another thing that probably will change with the quality of opponent. So we can't get too, too crazy about it, because I think it's hard. Him at his size, it's hard to find passing lanes against a bunch of 6'5" athletic freaks.
Yeah, he was getting lost out there a little bit too. There'd be certain times that he'd drive in and
then nowhere to go.
Throw it backwards to like no one, or he'd kick it out to no one. It seemed like he was getting a little lost in there, and you just gotta hope that that's just him being rusty, hasn't played for a year, and also like you said, you're playing against a top 40 team in the country. It's bound to happen, but you know, we'll see. I was a little worried with, you know, talking about low assists, I was a little worried with the selfishness a little bit of players at times. You talked about Taj not giving up the ball on the breakaway. We texted. We were pretty upset that one play where Jesus had the ball. He was like double covered, three guys open around him, and he threw up like a fadeaway shot. And he did that a couple times today.
And you know? I think it's less selfishness and more just like tunnel vision. Like you're playing like a very overmatched game. You're playing against guys like – it's just tunnel vision. You're not really playing your game because you're playing – you're down, 35 points, and you're playing future NBA players. So, again, another semi-pass for them playing a top 40 team. A lot of this stuff can be attributed to that. Granted, it must change. We have to honestly have to see it change. But I think a lot of it can be contributed to just being very overmatched.
Yeah, because we can say that now, but if it continues on –
exactly, that's what I mean.
That'd be a problem. And some of these, like, I kind of feel like Jesus played like that a lot last year, so I hope he kind of changes up a little bit this year. I feel like he's the type of player that once he gets hot, he'll score a couple baskets. He had a nice couple
moves down low. His footwork looked really good today.
His confidence builds, but then he starts taking bad shots, and then it gets ugly. I feel like we kind of saw that a little bit today. He had a bunch of spin moves down low, got to the basket, looked good, had some free throws, but then he took, like, a deep three, bricked it. A fadeaway in the corner, airballed it. That shot we talked about where he didn't
another fadeaway.
And all three of those plays I just talked about were in the first half, so that's when the game was still very close. So,
and you know, it's more like him just sticking to his game. Like obviously his game is in the posts, and that his post moves did look really good even against top competition. His post moves kind of made him look silly at times. So I mean, it's just sticking to his game, sticking to how he can get to the basket, how he can score better. And I think he'll be fine, but I think him trying to expand his game is something he's not is – it makes it – holds him back.
I agree with you. I texted you before during the game just saying, you know, if he stuck to driving to the rim, like you said, post moves, he could be so good. But, you know, I mean, you're a senior at this point. You know, he could work at getting better from the outside. But I think at this point, you're a senior.
You are what you are.
It's not really – it's not really coming for you. Just use your strengths to your advantage. You know what I mean? You're really good at something. Use that. Abuse that. You know, you don't have to try to expand your game at a certain point. If you're really good at getting the rim, do that and do it really well. You're going to stay on the court. And then, you know, there will be other guys who will pick it up from the outside, hopefully. I mean, we haven't seen that yet. But
And also, if – they're going to be – if you're going to be that good in the paint, it'll leave you chances to have open shots from deep. Like, one move from the post isn't going to magically make you open from outside. I think if he does continue to work at those post moves and becomes, like, almost dominant, teams will let him shoot rather than let him get in the paint, leading to him allowing him to have those open threes that he wants to
take. That's true. And also teams are going to be forced to – collapse on him and he could kick it out to an open.
Yeah, his passing game can get better. Like there are ways for him to expand his game without forcing it.
Because, you know, we've been watching him for 3 years and we're not hating on him because he's still like one of the best players on the team. One of our leading scorers today. But I just feel like the outside shot's not there. You're kind of a senior, right? I feel like how much better can you improve on that? I feel like he should just really dominate at his good area, which is getting to the rim and post move. So hopefully that's something that maybe Jae Young or his staff sees and could kind of coach more towards, but
and also, I feel
like that would benefit our team as a whole.
I'm glad you mentioned film and I guess Jae Young and film, because I think this film for this game, I think will help them improve a lot. I think they'll learn a lot from this game, especially the young guys. I mean, like, think about Jalen Leach, Jalen, and just Jalen at this point, and Supreme. This is their first organized college basketball ever.
Yeah. That's like, another thing you got to keep in mind as a fan. I mean, this is going to be the best team they play by far all season, too, and they did it in their first game in their debut. You know, this might even be the best team they play in the next 2 years, you know, depending on this is a really good team. So, you know, they didn't look amazing, but they didn't look awful, and it's their first game ever. I mean, think back to, like, last year. I mean, they played a lot of minutes, too. That's another thing. Think back to last year. Mido couldn't even play, like, 7 minutes. Like,
15, 20 minutes.
Think back to that. I mean, they played this whole game today. They didn't really have many people off the bench to go to, so they were forced to. And, I mean, they looked all right. I mean, some of them looked a little winded. I forgot to mention that before when we were talking about Chef looking
well. Well, yeah, second half, they did, like –
You know, you can't fault them for being winded when they started practice in late September and then Fairfield got shut down for 2 weeks in October, start up practice again, Fairfield gets shut down again, start up practice again. It's been a weird schedule. You can't really blame them for being a little bit, not out of shape, but a little bit, winded during this game. You really can't blame them. And then also winded going up against a really strong team too. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't blame them.
And one last thing before we move on, or if you have anything else, one thing I wanted to mention is that I think they showcase a lot more like athleticism, not just athleticism, but I guess more swagger in their, at least in the first half, at least. Like you saw, they had a big dunk from Mido at one point. Chef, obviously, we mentioned before, the blocks. Like they looked the part of a basketball team a lot more than I think they did last year.
Yeah. Almost like kind of more enjoyable to watch, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like that. Even with a 41-point loss, like the first half, they were down 12 at the end of the first half. I was genuinely like pumped up, even with only 29 points scored, because they had big blocks. They had like a couple nice dunks. Even the start of the second half, Mido almost had a nice alley oop that goes in, is a pretty nice play for him.
Yeah, and that's so, the thing. We're bound to break at some point against this team, but those first 10 minutes, like, I was so excited watching those first 10 minutes. I was, I couldn't even sit down. I was, like, standing up the whole time. It was really exciting to watch in the beginning when they were holding with them.
Even Jalen, I think, looked like he belonged in those games.
Yeah, he made a few mistakes that you chalk him up as freshman mistakes.
Four turnovers. You take the good and the bad. And two steals, even.
We talked about this too. Some of them, I mean, like the foot shuffling, like different stuff like that. Some of them were like very minor calls.
It's just like nerves.
We don't want to be those guys because we lost by 40, but the referees were a little like picky today. They were calling like some of the softest fouls I've seen in a long time.
So, it's not the fouls, it's more the ticky-tack, like, foot shuffling for Leach, and then, like, Watson kind of barrels his body through the paint, doesn't really ever dribble, gets an and-one, and nothing is really called, but then Jalen has, like, shuffles his feet barely, and they call it travel. It's like,
yeah, no, but some are, like,
you're going to be tight on it, be tight on both sides, or be loose on it both sides, it's not really.
Some of the hand-checking fouls were frustrating to me. Like, I think Taj had one or two, I think Mido had one or two that, you know, it's like he got his hands on him. Like, let them play. They're playing physical. They're down by 30. Like,
and Watson is like that. Watson invites the contact too. So it's like hand checking. You can't really play defense on Watson without hand checking because he uses his body so effectively and so much in his game.
And how about that? I'm blanking too. But how about that one play? They called a foul. We were literally going down to the other end of the
court. Oh yeah, it's like called a foul. Well, like, then again, you talk about, like, I always talk about this with, like, college football, with the pass interference after, like, the play is over. It's like, what were you contemplating in those 20 seconds or 10 seconds after the play? And that's, like, kind of the same thing. It's like, would you lose the whistle?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, so I forget what happened, but they called a foul on us. Like, we were literally ready to inbound, like, to go down to the other end of the court, and then they called the foul. So, I don't know. We're not going to be those guys. Officiating did not change this game. We lost.
Yeah, obviously. We would have lost by 35 instead of 41.
Yeah, we definitely got beat, but it was a little soft for me. I would have liked them to let them play a little bit more. Steals 3-7, not much there. Blocks 2-3. I think Chef had both of those blocks. Would have liked Mido to try to get
Mido kind of get
at
a
least
few
a block under his belt. Turnovers, we doubled them. We more than doubled them, 15-7. Turnovers was pretty big today.
And I think I think that's Caleb and Jalen kind
Caleb
of.
Caleb and, I mean, do you have like the player-by-player stats?
Yeah, so Caleb had 5, Jalen had 4. That's 9 of the 15.
Yeah, I was going to say they definitely accounted for most of them.
But
we'll keep going.
Yeah, but Jalen, I think Jalen's were more kind of to take them because it's like he's new to the game. Caleb's were more harder to defend. I mean, there's one I mentioned, you know, off the inbounds underneath the basket, he tries to throw it to the 3-point line, just basically right to the guy.
Oh, yeah,
kind of
that
stuff
was
that
bad.
Kind of stuff that's like you can't even make that mistake, even against a team like Providence. Like, it's like hard to defend it.
Yeah, some of those, like you said, some of those turnovers would translate to the MAC, and that's where you kind of want to eliminate it. That's the kind of problem area.
That's there. Something that would, like, Caleb getting that pass picked off no matter who he plays.
Yeah, and then I go back to, we talked about this already, right in the beginning of the game, Caleb had like a really bad double dribble.
Walking up the court.
Yeah, walking up the far side of the court. And then, like, Leach with the foot shuffling. Another time, I think Leach on the far side in the first half stepped out of bounds or traveled.
Oh, yeah.
You can't travel in college basketball. That'll translate. That'll translate to the
MAC.
Oh,
no, yeah, obviously, yeah.
Double dribbling, that'll translate to the MAC. Throwing the ball away, that'll translate to the MAC. So the turnovers for me were our biggest downfall in this game because, you can get out-rebounded by guys that are bigger than you. You can get scored on by guys that are bigger than you, but you really beat yourself with turnovers and it doesn't really matter. Some of the turnovers, yes, it was because Providence is better than us. Like when Leach drove in and was like just the two guys were on him and they were just clearly stronger
the ball
than
out of his hands.
Stuff like that, yeah. But a good amount of these turnovers did come from us just playing poorly, and that is definitely going to have to change because that would translate over to the MAC. And 15 turnovers
and that's that
competitive league is going to hurt.
That backs up my point about Jalen. Like, when you're getting ripped by two guys, like when he drives like that in the MAC, he's probably not going getting ripped by two guys like that, like that strong, that
yeah,
in the paint like that.
That's one that I'll
in the MAC. That's a layup probably.
Yeah, that's one I'll kind of give. That's probably a foul in the MAC, honestly.
Yeah, in the
that's
MAC, it's probably a foul given.
I'll give to us playing Providence, but again, like I said, majority of those turnovers weren't like that. Majority of them were just us kind of beating ourselves.
Stupid mistakes.
Yeah. So we got to clean up the turnovers. 15, really can't have that going forward. And then fouls, 22-23. We already talked about this. I just felt like the refs kind of called soft fouls, and, you know, they called a lot. They called 45 fouls.
So. In the second half, it was more evenly just in general. They were getting a lot of free throws. But in the first half, I think Fairford had, what, 2 free throws the entire first half?
Yeah, just
Taj. Which in college basketball is, like, difficult to do.
And it was Taj way at the end. It was, like, almost the first half with no free throws. But part of that, too, was us, like, not really getting to
the rim. Not really going to the paint, which in the second half we did change, and that's why kind of we kind of moved towards the line a lot more often.
So, okay, so that wraps up the stats. So we're going to go player by player. But before we do that, I just wanted to – talk about the team as a whole kind of one more time, just to kind of tie up the loose ends with what we felt with the different players. So first of all, I just feel like the team as a whole needs to finish better. We saw tons of times where we just didn't finish. How about right off the bat, right? Second half, alley-oop, what was it?
A really big, like, momentum
Caleb
swift.
DeMaito, right? Caleb Tomato alley-oop, he missed it. I just feel like there was countless times where we either missed layups, we missed wide-open shots. You got to finish, especially going forward in the MAC. Like, these games are going to be so close. Like, a missed dunk, a missed alley-oop open dunk, a missed layup. Like, these things are going to kill you in the MAC when you wind up losing by four or you wind up losing by two. Like, and things can't
even like momentum, momentum wise, that's a momentum shifter. Maybe not in that game, we still would have lost, but
that was the first play though. We were down 12. That was the first
play. That's a momentum
dunk.
Shift.
Like a monster dunk gets the guys up. There's no fans there. So you're right though. It is a momentum shifter. So, you know, I think they just need to do better at finishing, even finishing half of those chances. I feel like they just missed a lot of easy buckets today, which again, the easy buckets are not, you didn't miss those easy buckets because you're playing against Providence. You missed those easy buckets because you missed them. Like
you missed them.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a kind of a point I wanted to make. And then one other thing I really wanted to talk about, we had Jay Young on our podcast, obviously, and he told us, first of all, I got to say this on air. I texted it to you. I think, I don't want to sound, we're very humble here at Red Sea Radio, but I think that those announcers might have heard our podcast. I think they might have heard our podcast because twice they said something.
Verbatim from.
They said something word for word. They plagiarized our podcast twice. I forget what the first one was, but the second one, they said, Jay Young said that defense wins games and offense
by how much.
And that is like a word for word quote that he said on this podcast. I don't know if he recycled that material somewhere else, but
I mean, he might. That might be just like something
that might just be like a philosophy of his, like a saying of his. But they said something in the beginning of the game too, that made me think like, that kind of sounded like something that I heard on our podcast. And then once they said that second thing that was like word for word, I was like, no way. They definitely listened to our podcast to prepare for
it. I mean, there's probably not that much like interview time with him out there. If you think about it, like how much
you look up like Jay in the interview, like we're probably one of the first few to come up. I mean,
especially this close to like now. Like there's probably a lot more from like when he first got hired and stuff, but like from like the past few months.
If you're doing your like broadcast research, I guess it's possible. So I just wanted to put that out there because I feel like they listened to it. Doesn't matter either way. They probably didn't, honestly, but that'd be kind of cool.
Saw it too.
Yeah. The point I wanted to make back to it is that we had Jay Young on and he told us that they plan to play faster this year. They're going to change up their offense. And personally in this game, I didn't see it.
It did not look that way. I think the announcers even mentioned in the first half when they were keeping it close, they were like, this is kind of how Fairfield played their games last year also. So I hope that it was more – I think I even mentioned on the before the game, like the preview, that they might not show it in this game because of who they're playing.
Yeah, you did say that.
So hopefully that is the case because I would love to see players like these players kind of get out and run. I think it would be really fun seeing like Chef and Mido and Jalen and Caleb out on the fast break together.
Again, maybe stamina has something to do with it, first game of the season, but – yeah, like you said, they played the same style of basketball that they played last year. A lot of their offensive possessions were cycling the ball back and forth between Taj and Caleb while, you know, other people ran around just cycling the ball around the three-point line. Clock gets very deep into, you know, the shot clock, and then someone throws up a shot. Someone throws up a mid-range. Someone drives and gets the ball swiped away. Someone drives and loses the ball, kicks it out to someone, ball gets taken away, kicks it out to someone, a missed three, a brick three. It was very, very, very reminiscent of last year. So, to me, the offense didn't look different at all, unfortunately. I really would have liked them to play faster, too. Maybe they didn't really have the opportunity to play faster either with this team against Providence, but that stuck out to me. I actually wrote that right at halftime in my notes because that really stuck out to me. I was like, they don't look too much different than last year. So
I hope also that's why I'm excited for the Stony Brook game if it happens on Saturday, because I think it'll be a true first game for them.
Yeah, Stony Brook, Sacred Heart, Hartford, the two Hartford games. Our final four games before the MAC play.
Those will be
way more even.
Yeah, for sure. more like MAC games, more similar to how we would play in the MAC games.
Yeah, so, I really hope that the offense does play faster. I just thought it was really important to note that it didn't really.
And also, I think that might be contributed to Caleb kind of being rusty, because I think it all runs through Caleb. I think Jalen wants that. So I think when Caleb starts getting confident, getting more into the groove of things, he'll start pushing it more and kind of getting more fast break buckets. Because if you notice, Caleb was never really the one pushing up the court. It was more Taj was mostly the one, like clapping for the ball, trying to push it as quick as possible. If you know, I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Caleb was just a little rusty, and yeah, like you said, he lagged behind a little bit. It almost seemed like times that Taj would bring the ball up and then Caleb would show up, and then he would kind of pass it off to him. So, you know, he was a little rusty. I think he got better as the game went on, personally, too, Caleb. Mm-hmm. I think second half he had some nice buckets. Towards the end of the game, he had a nice little drive to the hoop. So hopefully it just keeps going uphill from there. You know, we'll see. And I guess we'll talk about the players now, because I was going to say something else, but.
Well, I just wanted to bring up one last thing. Is like easy. Obviously, we're never going to play a team like this, but like this is like an exact situation where like an easy would have been perfect. Just like a big body, just to like take up space in the paint. So a lot of our big men are big, but they're thin. Like they're not very wide. Like easy's a big.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah, no, easy was very strong, even though he wasn't as tall.
I think he would have been perfect for a game like this.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there was more I want to say, but I think we'll just do the player-by-player thing kind of as we transition into the kind of last segment of our show today. I don't really even know how long we've been on, because we don't have the studio clock anymore and stuff. It's a totally different feel. But so we'll go player-by-player today, everyone that played. And then we'll talk about just some other stuff at the end, but okay, let's go player by player. So just reading off the ESPN kind of stat lines, we'll go from the top. Supreme Cook obviously started his first game ever, played in his first game ever, started. Well, I guess we're so kind of off track here, but how did you feel about that starting lineup?
It surprised me, but I mean, in the future, I do love seeing Cook play, but I think Chef needs to be in that starting lineup in the future, whether it replaces Maida or replaces Cook, I think, or even Cruz, as you mentioned, if Chef's going to play a little bit of the three, I think Chef needs to be in that starting lineup just in terms of, like, he's one of our five best players, so I think he needs to be in the lineup. That's my only takeout from it, but I don't mind it.
Yeah, so I listened to that podcast this morning with Jay Young. When he said a freshman's going to start, I really thought, and I told you this, I thought they would go Caleb, Taj, Chef, Mido, Supreme, or Supreme, then Mido. And then, yeah, I was pretty surprised not seeing Chef start, honestly. I think Cruz is a really good bench guy, like a six-man.
Yeah, I think he would. I think he also would fit his game if he wants to. I think he'd get more touches, more chances to score, which I think he prefers at.
I like them better at the two, honestly.
Yeah.
As well. I really do. I don't love him playing at the three.
I mean, also gives him more mismatches in the post, which is what he kind of excels at.
Yeah. I think he's like an energetic player. Plays hard. He plays his heart out. I think he would provide a nice spark being a sixth man coming in, mm-hmm. you know, 5-6 minutes into the game. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who starts. I mean,
end of the game, you'll get your five best players out there. Jay Young will get the five best players out there.
And, like, Chef didn't start, but he played a really majority of the game. It's not like he didn't play that much.
Yeah, it's not like he didn't play as much as –
It doesn't matter who starts. I would have loved to see either you put – I'd say you put Chef at the three and then bring Cruz in for Taj when you take Taj out, you know, at some point in the quarter or first half. So that's what I would have preferred. But I didn't hate the lineup. I didn't hate the lineup.
Also, I don't even mind Jalen. Like, a bench of Allen, Chef, and Jalen is not bad at all. I mean, all three of those guys are very, like, very good. And also, all three have the potential to start, which allows us to kind of have flexibility if there is any injury.
With the exception of Calvin, who didn't play much today anyway, the other eight guys, like, any of them could have started too, which is
pretty crazy. We wouldn't have batted an eye.
Yeah. So second guy I want to talk about today. We talked about the lineup. Let's talk about Supreme Cook. So, you know, We talked
Stocks
about it a little
even.
bit.
Stocks around even for him, I
Yeah.
think. Didn't do much to sway the, like, he didn't do great, but he didn't do terrible, I don't
Yeah, he
think.
didn't have any standout plays to me to really think back to.
Fouled out, but.
Oh, did he foul out?
High fouls, high personal.
Oh,
Foul.
I didn't catch that at the end. I didn't even catch that he fouled out. But, you know, 4 rebounds, you know. I don't know. I think back to he missed the back-to-back free throws.
Yeah.
Well, to me, I'll say I don't think he played bad. I don't really think he played well either. I think he was kind of just there. You say Stocks even. I'll kind of agree. I think he's going to get a lot better as the season goes on, though.
And Cook's growth as Mido last year is like kind of has trouble with foul trouble, has potential, has a lot of trouble fouling, a lot of trouble with like keeping up for 40 minutes. And I think, as you mentioned, the season goes on, he'll get much better.
Yeah. I'll change it. I'll say Stocks up a little bit. I'll say buy Stock and Supreme now.
I'll keep it even.
I'll put an order in. Yeah. I like him. I think he looks a little bit stronger than Mido, but a similar player. And I think the strength will help him in the MAC. I think against MAC play, like another thing too is like Cook and Mido could totally dominate the MAC if they want
to.
Yeah,
we have no idea. Like it's so hard to tell. It's so early, and that game is just so far.
Yeah, but
off
I'm just saying, like
their
if they
usual
really want to. If they really want to, I really think they could dominate the MAC. Like,
no, I know.
Could be a real good duo. If going against MAC teams won't have – just like we didn't have the size today, some MAC teams won't have the size to compete with Cook
us.
And Mido.
Yeah, we have like a very – some very big guys that like teams in the MAC can't even keep up with. So it's like we're – it's like the food chain. It's like we get eaten by Providence, but we'll be able to – feast on Monmouth or whatever.
Yeah, so I actually think Supreme will do well. I think he'll actually do well going into the season. You know, especially if you pair him with Mido, teams are going to have to focus on one of them. You know, teams that have less size are going to have to focus on one of them, and the other one can do well. So, like you said, so my kind of final thing on him today is he didn't necessarily play well. He didn't necessarily play bad. I think he has good upside for the future, but right now it's kind of just he was just there for me today. He didn't do much for me today. He did, though. He did get featured on Barstool.
Yeah, so, he was all over the place. Seeing that name was – I think that's why they put him in the starting lineup, so he can get all that fame.
Yeah, right? Like
every time – the second that they announced – like they had like the graphic, like starting lineups, he was all over like Barstool, their podcast, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think his exposure was definitely out there today.
Yeah.
He got a lot of looks from different basketball websites and stuff like that. So, that's kind of just a funny thing to talk about. Moving on, second player, Chris Mido. He shot 2 for 7. Obviously, we talked about 0 for 4 from 3, 1 for 2 from free throws, 3 rebounds. So,
I think without the threes, honestly, I think without the threes, Stocks up on him. I think without the threes, he had a solid game. And he could have been a little bit more firm in the post on defense. A few more rebounds I would love. But offensively, I think he kind of kept up where he was at last year. Didn't take a lot of shots, but when he did, they were effective.
So, you know, I'll actually disagree. I'll take the other side here. I'll kind of disagree with you. I thought he had a below-average game from what I expect out of him. Offensively, we could start there first. 0 for 4 from 3, like you said. He shouldn't take 4 threes. He took the most threes. Him and Jalen both took 4. He took the most threes on the team. He shouldn't take 4. And he hangs out on the perimeter a lot. Like, he is 6'10", 6'11". He should be down in the post most of the time. There's no reason why he should be hanging out on the perimeter at all. So
I think it was
– they want him to do, I really don't understand
which
why
is
he's
not
having
very good idea. I think it's more
– where you go.
Yeah, so I – my to defend my side, I think it was more one – from when I saw him doing what he's supposed to, like when I saw him doing what he's best at, he looked very good doing it. So So I guess that's what my takeaway from it was.
Yeah, so I just feel like could have had him more in the post, could have fed him more, and at least see what he can do down there. I know the guys outweighed him today, but at least give him a chance. I didn't really see him have many post moves, maybe one or two. I didn't really see him go for really many baskets down low at all today. Would have liked that.
On he had that defense, one dunk, which I liked.
Yeah, he had the one dunk, but he also had the missed alley-oop that you talked about. On defensive side, too, I'll say only 3 rebounds. You know, there was times where I kind of saw him shy away from guys, times where Providence guys would be down low, whether they got an offensive rebound or they got the ball down low. And I feel like he could have kind of got up and swatted the ball away, and he kind of just let them take a lot of soft layups. Like, I feel like he let them take a lot of soft layups in the second half specifically. I don't know if they kind of gave up or what. But, you know, I just would have liked him to be more aggressive on defense, try to block more. I mean, we saw Chef. Chef was very aggressive on defense. He was
– And also, it backfired a few times. So it did backfire. It backfired a few times on him. Hit a couple of fouls on
– Yeah, it backfired. But I would have just liked him – just try to show that aggression. I didn't really see the aggression from Mido today. I would have liked him to be way more aggressive. I mean, Jae Young said it on our podcast. He can be so good. He can be so dominant. He kind of just – I feel like Jae Young just has to light that fire under him, like get that fire out of him.
I just hope it also was kind of from the intimidation of that Providence front court. Like, obviously, you want your guys to not flinch under any, like, fear of anything. But, I mean, Mido being, what, not 180 versus Nick Watson, who's, like, six, same height and 260. It's hard to – tell him just go get him and just
have him. It's really hard. You can't really blame him for that, but I just don't see, and I didn't last year either, I don't see that aggression from him. Like, if he really wanted to, he could be so aggressive and so just dominant. Like, he really could be so dominant, and it's maybe not today, but going forward in the MAC, like, he can be so dominant if he really just brought out like an aggression. Like, some guy, I guess some guys just have it and some don't, but like, I feel like he doesn't play aggressive enough. I feel like he plays more relaxed, which is okay at times, but for a big man, for, you know,
when you have to overpower somebody else, you need that dog.
Yeah, like, just I don't see him going up and ripping a rebound down. I don't see him going up and going in hard on someone on offense, you know, dunking on someone hard.
But now again, Chef coming in to kind of take that role will help Mido kind of do what he
excels at. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, and Chef,
this is also why I like to see Chef play next to Mido more.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a second, but he has that fire, and I'll talk about it when we get to him. Next guy I want to talk about, Caleb Green, point guard. The lone underclass, or I mean, he's a junior, the lone underclass captain
of
the
team. Yeah, lone non-senior.
Lone non-senior captain of the team. 4-for-10 from the field, 0-for-2 on free throws, which we said, don't really like to see that out of your point guard. Couple offensive rebounds, you know, 4 assists, led the team, but we would like him to try to double that. So we talked about him a lot already. Kind of the highlight, what we said is that he turned the ball over a little bit too much today, looked a little rusty, but it's his first game in, what, 2 years now? So can't be too mad, but he's definitely going to have to clean it up. Hopefully the next 4 games give him an opportunity to, you know, because he's going to have to clean it up. Anything on Caleb? I feel like we kind of talked about him a lot.
Yeah, we talked a lot about him during the game recap. It's just limit the turnovers, make better decisions.
I like to see him shoot at the rim. I'd like to see him shoot more. Yeah,
shoot more, but finish better at the – shoot more outside, I think, because we didn't really get to see him attempt many outside shots. We don't really know what we have with him –
I took like 1 or 2 mid ranges, I think.
I honestly, the worst thing I could see happening to him, not even him being like, just like him falling to like that passive itis role where he doesn't really shoot the ball, kind of defers other people when he is kind of our best finisher, best scorer on the court.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jae Young described him as that type of guy that wakes up and thinks about how he can make his teammates better today. Like,
but no, which is fine, but yeah. At times I think he needs to kind of.
No, I agree with you. It's like almost – at what point are you so into facilitating? Are you so into getting your teammates good shots that you stop,
you're getting,
you
stop losing points,
taking your own shots, you know, that you stop giving yourself opportunities. Yeah. I agree with that. I'd like to see him take – I would have liked to see him take at least one three today. I want to see if he at least has it. I think he might have taken one, but I would have liked to see him I feel like he took it later in the game. I would have liked to see him take some threes. He had opportunities in the first half. Like, I feel like he had opportunities to shoot in the first half, and he gave it up. There was one time the clock was getting really, really low, the shot clock, and he had an opportunity to shoot. I don't know if he didn't see the shot clock or not. And then he wound up just, like, dumping it off to Taj with, like, 1 second left or something like that. Yeah. I feel like I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I would have liked him to take more shots, but –
I mean, even if what was I going to say? Even though he didn't, like, finish that well, I think his nose for the rim was good to see. He got, even at his size against guys that big, he was able to get to the rim kind of at will at times. Obviously, he wasn't able to finish a lot of them because, I mean, with guys that big, it's hard to maneuver yourself. Not many guys can do it. Yeah. But, I mean, against MAC opponents, I think a lot more of those, and getting to the rim like that will help a lot with getting easy baskets for us.
Yeah, that's a valid point too, though, is he's probably – today was probably the only guy on the court under 6 foot. He was very
– he was able to get to the rim with – kind of with ease at times, especially in the first half.
Yeah, so I say stocks up on him too. I think he's going to be very good. He's going to be fine. He's
going to get better. Tough game, but I saw the potential.
He's going to get better as time goes on for sure. And I'm not worried. If he just cleaned up the turnovers, he wouldn't have even had a bad game today.
He had a very good game without the turnovers.
Yeah.
Finished a few plays of the rim, turned the ball over a few times less, and he has himself a nice day against the quality opponent.
He had 8 points. He was the tied for third leading scorer.
Yeah.
So, and what did we say? I mean, we said our, like, wish for him before the season was, like, what, 12 points, 8 assists, something like that?
Yeah.
He already had 8 points, you know.
He just didn't get there. But, like, I mean, it's the same type of distribution between points and assists that we wanted.
Even 8 points, 8 assists, or, like, something like that would have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with his scoring today. Clean up the turnovers, and he had a good game. If he cleaned up the turnovers, so I'll say, yeah, stocks up on him. Jesus Cruz is next. We talked about him a lot. Yeah. You know, I would like to see him be a sixth man. That's my thing. And I talked about him a lot before, how he just needs to abuse what he's good at, and that's getting to the rim. And I think he just his outside shot, he just doesn't have it. And it's okay that he doesn't have it, but he's just got to stop taking so many outside shots because they kill runs at times.
Like, yeah, and he did it last year too, which kind of makes me nervous because, like, it's something that kind of carried over from – a whole year, you know, whole.
That's what I was saying too. Is like he did that same stuff last year, where it was like guys were open, but he took a fadeaway shot, or guys were open, but he took a deep three and bricked it, or like hit the top of the backboard. And you know, you're like, he's really good at getting to the rim. I wish he would just do that and leave the outside shooting for other guys like Jalen, or you know. So that's kind of my. I already talked a lot about him. I don't want to just
keep the same stuff. Stock down. We hope we see different stuff.
Yeah, stock down on him, I'd say. Being that he's a senior, you got to expect a lot from him. That's another reason why me seeing him start today was like, all right, he's a senior going up against a really good team. Jae Young might have just went with experience here, given that, you know, I mean, he did start a freshman, but given that, they are playing Providence. He was like
all of his elder statesmen at the helm.
So I would like to see the lineup. The lineup will change, if we're being honest. Yeah, like, it's definitely
we'll have change. Double digit different starting lineups, I have to imagine.
Do you have anything else on Jesus? I feel like we talked.
I think we kind of exhausted it before.
Next, we got Taj wrapping up the starting lineup.
Stallone, I think, doesn't show how well he played. I think he played pretty well.
I say stocks up on him for sure.
Yeah, if he can keep playing. If anything, I think he got better from last year in terms of just how he looks, ball handling, shooting. His mid-range looks very good compared to last year. I think
He has a good touch from mid-range.
His jump shooting looks much better than it did.
I do think that having a true point guard does benefit his game. It really does.
Oh, definitely. And it leaves him open to more isolation, more one-on-ones. so he doesn't get like stuck with the ball and stuck with the
other thing too, like, because teams press us. Teams always press us. Like,
yeah,
they press us every game. Having last year, it was like we needed Taj to like go through his legs, go behind the back, like get the ball up. Now you have two guys that can get the ball up. That's really big in those situations.
Even three. Jalen could do it in a pinch too, which helps. So like if we are
really assuming Jalen's on the court with them.
Well, yeah, I'm saying if we're really struggling with the press, we could always run the three of them in the game at the same time, which we did today. And it did help with the breaking the press. I mean, we had the three of them, two of them on the wings with usually Taj in the middle below the hoop with two of them on the wings, bring it up in case he needed help.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't really turn the ball over in the backcourt much today.
Yeah,
so
no, you're right. I don't really think – I think we broke the press pretty much every time. So the announcers did say, though, it was kind of true that the press takes us – it takes 10 or so seconds off the shot clock, which is kind of
– Yeah, so we're basically playing
– an NBA shot clock. So, yeah, Taj, I say stocks up. I think he is probably our best player on the team because – he has the experience and he can get to the rim. He can shoot the mid range. I still don't like him shooting from three. I think he might have thrown one up today.
He had one, I think. Over one, yeah.
But again, kind of the theme of this team is just do what you're good at really well. And I think you'll be fine. And I think for him, mid range and getting to the rim, getting fouled, we know he's a good free throw shooter. He shot 4 for 6 today, but, you know, we know over long term he's a good free throw shooter. So I think he played really well. I think, like you said, stats don't show because I would have liked him to shoot more. I think he could have scored more today, but just a rough game all around. But I think he's going to be a menace in the MAC. So really, stocks are up on Taj Benning. Definitely our lead player, our best player. So let's go to the bench now. Four guys to talk about. Allen Jean Rose is first. I will say that in my notes at halftime, I wrote this, and it resonated for the whole game that he really disappointed me today.
Alan. Yeah, he didn't really do much. He had that one stretch where he scored two baskets in a row, but, like, very passive. He had an open three at one point that he passed up to – I forget who.
I remember that.
Wide open three in the corner that – I mean, Coach Jay or Coach Young literally said to us himself, he said – Allen needs to shoot better. Like, that's his main – what they're going for.
I actually remember, too, he didn't even pass that. He pump faked and then drove in and missed a layup.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you're it's just why take – like, when you're working to get your three-pointer better and you need to shoot with confidence and, like, that's the one thing you have to kind of overcome, why are you passing up open threes to take contested layups that aren't going to go in? Like, it's hard to watch because you know – that's exactly what the shot you're looking for when you're Allen, a guy like Allen, and you're passing it up.
You know, I didn't realize this until Jay came on the podcast, and then once he said it, it's kind of really obvious that, you know, he looks a little, like, unsure of himself, and he makes a lot of mistakes. Jay's talked about that, like how he's a little unsure of himself, and he almost looks a little, like, scared out there, like a little shy on the ball. Like a little scared.
Yeah, I think he's afraid to
make mistakes.
He's afraid to shoot it. Make a mistake, yeah. He's afraid to shoot a three and miss it. He'd rather try to take a layup and get fouled so that it doesn't, like,
look as bad. Yeah. Right when they put him in, literally 5-10 seconds in, he committed a foul. It was a bad foul, too. He really disappointed me because we talk about him on the show. He's one of our favorite players on the team, and he didn't really do much at all today. Yeah, that was probably my biggest disappointment out of this whole team because we have really high hopes for him. We think, you know, he could be really special, but I don't know. He looks worried. He looks scared making mistakes. And
we hope that's more playing Providence again than permanent. Yeah.
But, like, last year I found myself a lot, like, looking at the TV, like, oh, like, put Allen in.
Yeah, we were begging
today for him. Today I wasn't. Times. Yeah, today.
Today we were kind of more rather, give me Jalen, give me Chef.
Yeah. Today I was not missing him on the court.
No.
I don't even know how long he played, but I feel like he didn't play a whole lot today.
No, he didn't. And Jalen Chef took a lot of his minutes. That, like, if you notice, a lot of the minutes that were taken weren't from Cruz or Taj or even Mido. It was from Allen.
Yeah. He was disappointing me a lot today. That's my, I'll say stocks are down on him.
Yeah, stocks are down on Jalen or Allen. I mean,
Allen. Yeah. So hopefully he gets better. That's my biggest disappointment for the game. Let's talk about Chef next.
Not a lot to talk about. I think we've mentioned, we kind of mentioned the highlights of his day. Obviously, the two blocks, couple baskets, couple rebounds, a lot of rebounds, actually. Eight led the team.
Led the team in rebounds, yeah.
Which is obviously what we expected, what Jay kind of told us would happen.
Listen, 7 points, eight rebounds. Obviously, 7 points, three of those were that three at the end of the game. But I'll probably say he's one of my favorite players. He was one of my favorite players to watch today.
Yeah, no, I mean,
you talk about like a new swag that this team kind of has. He accounts for a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a good player. He jumps a lot. Those are ferocious blocks. He's good, like a solidly athletic team. He made them look kind of foolish at times with those blocks.
Yeah,
he was like almost like testing them, like baiting them into taking those layups, which
I
is pretty impressive.
We talked about this already. I think he's going to be so good when it comes into the season.
I think he'll be a guy that teams won't want to play against. Will be worried to play against.
He needs to start.
Yeah.
He really needs to start. And like we talked about, I mean, it doesn't really matter who starts because he probably got more minutes than some of the starters today.
I mean, it's more about the final 5 minutes than the first 5 minutes.
But I feel like he would be – he has to find his way in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get more offensive opportunities against smaller teams. Like, I think offensively he didn't have the opportunity today against a Providence, but I think he's going to do really well offensively against – these MAC teams, or even, you know, the games this weekend. Defensively, like you said, eight rebounds against a very outsized team. I thought he looked really good. The blocks, I mean, Jae Young told us he's going to be the most athletic player in the MAC, and I don't really see.
I don't see any reason he can't be.
Yeah, so stocks are very high on Chef. I think might be my favorite player right now. I don't know. So. You got any final words on him?
No, I mean, I'm excited to see what he does Saturday. Stocks, big time up. Probably your second best player.
Stocks are booming on Chef.
Stocks are booming on him.
And then finally, or no, not finally.
Not but finally, Jalen second final.
Jalen Leach, the other freshman making his debut today, came in, banged that three. Had me pretty excited.
I was excited, yeah. I was pretty pumped up.
Kind of faded away a little bit. From three after that. From three.
But also, I mean, his other field goal was that M1, which
honestly, yeah, that was nice. He took kind of like a decent hit on that.
And yeah, he took a big hit and was able to finish through it. And honestly, finishing through conic like that's hard to do. Like, that's like more of like a natural talent than something you can learn.
Yeah, you go.
So, yeah, I just want to say, like, his natural talent, I think, kind of bled through today. I think you could tell he kind of had that knack, that natural kind of basketball IQ that we've kind of known about.
Yeah, and I'll say I was just going to probably pretty much say what you were just saying is that you can tell that he has like the tools, like he has the tools he needs. Like you can tell he's kind of a natural player and that with time and experience and coaching, he's going to get a lot better. I think he's going to be really good offensively for us this year. It hurts that we didn't have Wojcik, because I feel like he would be a really good like complement behind Wojcik. Like if Wojcik started like at the two and you had Taj at the three, I think that'd be like a really good offensively for the team. And then having him come in, that'd be like a great complement. Obviously, it's not going to happen. We don't want to harp on stuff that's not going to happen. But you know, I think he will. You know, from three, he will be a lot better this year against those other teams.
I also think he's as confident in his palate. Like
I was going to say, as time goes on, his confidence will grow too, 100%. 5 for 5 free throw shooting. Love to see that. Absolutely love to see that. 4 turnovers. We talked about it already. Got to clean that up. But some of them were freshman debut turnovers against Providence. 10 points tied for first on the team, him and Taj. So – very, very inspiring. I think he's going to be good too.
I think he's going to be one of our best players in by next year. Next year, going this year, I think he'll be one of our
potentially top like I mean, he could be our top. He, like, we've seen people say it this year, and we were kind of like, ah, but he could be our top scorer this year.
Right. I could. I mean, in one
at the
time,
moment,
he,
one game
in time,
he
led
our
the
top
team.
Scorer. So I'm excited. Like you said, like you said, all these guys on the bench have the potential over the course of this season to crack the starting lineup, all of them. So that's really good to see. And I'm so excited to continue to see Jalen play. I think he's very good, and I think he's just going to get better. So stocks are way up on him. I'll say Chef and Jalen are probably like the two people I'm most excited to see play. They are probably – and like you said, again, like how it brings a new swag, they like contribute a lot to that.
But they're probably the two that – yeah, because they're the two newest guys. But, yeah, those two guys look like big-time players. They look like they belong. They look like they should be the best players in the court.
Yeah, so finally we got Calvin. He didn't play a whole lot today. Jay Young said today on his podcast that Calvin was battling a shoulder injury, I believe, and just recently started practicing. So, you know, there's not a whole lot to say there on him. But I hope that as time goes on, he can get a bigger role. I mean, especially going into this weekend, if we only have four bench guys, and we could utilize him more, that'd be pretty.
I mean, if he can come in
beneficial.
I mean, we said his role. If he can come in, hit one or two threes, play good defense, give a break to a guy like Caleb, a guy like Cruz or Taj, that's huge. That's like it's not something to be like taken lightly. Guys are rested, also being able to contribute.
Yeah, because especially right now, guys are a little fatigued, like today.
Banged up also, we mentioned.
Throwing one more body in there for some minutes and getting your guys some rest is very, very beneficial for the team. So I hope he can get a little bit bigger of a role as time goes on. Jay Young talked about him today on the podcast saying that, you know, he has to get more, consistent or more efficient from three with his shots. And we talked about a lot on our show how – he shows sparks, but he hasn't been efficient really. And hopefully, I mean, it's his junior year. Hopefully he can. And we'll see. But that kind of wraps up our thing for the start for the whole lineup. So, we kind of talked about who we like, who disappointed us a little bit. One thing I just want to talk about before we end the show is Providence. Me and you kind of agreed, like, they didn't really impress me too much. And, people
are
probably listening. They're probably like, you guys are crazy. They just beat us by 40. But for the team of their caliber, they didn't impress me that much.
We're comparing them to teams that in their conference tournament teams, like we're training like a Villanova, a Creighton, ranked teams that are like the cream of college, like the top of college basketball. Obviously, they should be beating up on teams like Fairfield, mid-majors. But their season – relies on can they beat Villanova, can they beat Creighton, which with that lineup I really don't know. I don't think Watson – I think Watson looks good against lesser competition guys that are smaller than him, but going against NBA caliber big men that Villanova have, I don't see him kind of – I see him getting kind of bullied almost.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think they beat up on a team that they're bigger than, beat up on a team they're stronger than. And, yeah, we lost by 40, but they really didn't impress me too much. We talked about it already. Duke didn't impress me too much. Watson, once you put a body on him that can actually match up to his skill level and size, I don't think he's going to drop 23 points. And I don't really think this team is that special. I see a lot of people on Twitter, oh, Providence, whatever. Like, yeah, they just beat us by 40. But wait and see until they play a Big East schedule.
UConn's supposed to be really good this year too. Like,
yeah.
There are teams that will outskill them. It's a matter of, do you think – I don't know if their effort level and intangibles are as good as those teams.
Yeah,
though,
obviously they have a great coach and stuff like that, but so does everyone in the Big East. And
You're going up against Jay Wright, the best – basically the best coach in college basketball right now.
Yeah, so, I really don't think that this team was that impressive to me. A lot of people thought they were maybe, but – I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. I'll probably keep up with them as the season goes on. But
yeah, I'll be interested to see how they do.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how, a team that you played does. But I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with them. I really wasn't. So We'll see. But trying to give a little final words for Fairfield going into the weekend. We play both Stony Brook, hopefully, and Sacred Heart. That is, what are those games? Are they
Saturday
and Sunday, or Sunday, Monday?
I'm actually
Saturday, not sure. Sunday. Saturday, Sunday. So hopefully, I honestly hope we can watch the.
We should be able to.
I see that the Sacred Heart game is on something called NEC Front Row, which is like their division. I guess their division is their own network. Hopefully it's like a stream. I don't know. But so Saturday and Sunday, 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, Stony Brook, Sacred Heart. What's your kind of final words of encouragement going into these games for Fairfield?
Win both. That's it. Win both.
I agree. Win both. I think so what? So there's five games before the MAC. You know,
Stony Brook, Sacred Heart, 2 wins Hartford.
Yeah. 3-2 would be sick.
3-2
4-1 would be awesome. 3-2 would be sick.
4-1 would be me preparing the float for the MAC jamming.
Well, no, it's unfair. I mean, I don't really know these teams. I feel like we could beat Hartford twice. I don't want to like say that and then we like lose to them twice.
But I think the one legit one. I think we should like. I think Stony Brook's probably the hardest game. But also, I would like to see Sacred Heart play tonight. And it's
Sacred Heart. Yeah, we're so. For everyone out there, I don't even know if we're going to be able to post this today because the website's down, but Sacred Heart plays tonight at 7 against Rutgers. The spread is like 27.5, so they're bound to get killed by Rutgers, but I think they're a pretty good team. And then Stony Brook is like a decent program too. They're probably like about on par with us. I think those two games will be hard. I think we really should be able to beat Hartford though.
Yeah, Hartford should be a tune-up almost for us.
So –
I hope.
Words of encouragement for the weekend. At least one. We need to grab one win. You can't be 0-3.
Yeah, going 0-3 would be very brutal for us.
It'd be beautiful to grab two. I hope that the team plays faster. I hope that they clean up the turnovers. I think those two things would help us at least get wins over these teams, or at least play close games over these teams. Final words to the fans. Fairfield fans, don't panic. I don't think you guys will, but you guys know better than us, and you guys have been around longer than us, but don't panic. Obviously, we lost by a lot to Providence. I think it's all downhill from here in terms of team skill level that we play. It's all downhill from here. So Fairfield plays on ESPNU this year too against Manhattan. That's kind of cool. That was news this week. But yeah, it's all downhill from here. Expect a lot more close games. I don't think we're going to give up 94 again this season. So yeah, don't panic. We're going to be okay. Saturday and Sunday will be really big kind of clues to how we're going to be this year. And then we're going to have our episode next Wednesday. We play Hartford that night at 7. Me and Jack will probably do an episode around the same time. So we'll probably have that episode out by like 6 o'clock. So you can maybe listen to it before the game. We'll talk about the Stony Brook and Sacred Heart games, how those finished. And then, and we'll give you a little preview for the Hartford games. So we don't have a clock, but I think this episode is probably the longest episode we've ever had. We had a lot to talk about today, but I feel like it was a good episode. I feel like we got a lot off our chest. I feel a lot better after this episode.
Yeah, I feel like I talked myself into a much.
Yeah, I talked myself into like a calm state.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty like sad after that. I mean, it's hard to not be sad this whole week. I mean, now that we're home too, there's like nothing to look forward to besides Fairfield basketball, Thanksgiving dinner. But, you know, I was so pumped all last night, today, this week, and then we lose by 40. It's kind of tough, but I think I talked myself into a more calm state. I hope that was a really good learning experience, that will be the best team we play this year. So although we got smacked, we did play a really good team, and I hope that made us better in some ways. I hope Jay Young's on the bus right now already talking to the guys about Saturday and Sunday. And knowing the type of person he is, he probably is. So we're going to be okay. And we got the good news is it's Fairfield basketball season. We got so many games coming up. Pray that everyone stays safe. Pray that COVID doesn't disrupt the season. Excited to see the women's game. The women won't play until after our next episode, so that won't really matter anyway. But, yeah, I think that wraps up our episode. Do you have anything else to say, really?
And I think you summed it up. Excited for the weekend. I think everyone else should be, too.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the weekend. And, yeah, that's just about it. It's been – I forgot to mention this. It's been the worst sports week for me in, like, my whole life. So I really need the weekend to be good. NYCFC, my favorite soccer team, lost on Saturday in probably the craziest penalty shootout ever. So sad. Sunday, my Dolphins lost to the Broncos, which was a huge hit in our playoff chances. You got to beat the Broncos. And then today, Fairfield lost by 41. So, you know, my sport. And last, it's still been a week since my Thunder basically blew up their whole team. And basically have no recognizable names on their team. So it's been a really rough week for me in sports, and I hope that this weekend will redeem it. But yeah, other than that, everyone have a great Thanksgiving. Have a safe Thanksgiving. Enjoy the day. Follow us on Twitter. We've been posting a lot of cool content, a lot of funny content, I like to believe. Have a nice little fun picture for tomorrow for Thanksgiving that's going up on Twitter too. So follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio. Share our podcast with any Fairfield fans. Let everyone know. Always give us suggestions, questions, feedback. We appreciate it. I hope that the Zoom quality was good enough for you guys, because we're not in the studio anymore, but this is how our shows are going to be for the next 2-3 months. So we hope you guys enjoyed, and it was an unfortunate day, but our final message is don't panic. We're going to be fine. So that's really all from us. Other than that, it's been Red Sea Radio, episode 10, live from home from New Jersey, on Zoom. We hope you guys enjoyed. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend. Enjoy some more Stags basketball. We'll see you next Wednesday around the same time. Until then, as always, no matter what, go Stags.